A listener production.
Hi, and welcome back to Broadsheet Around Town. I'm Publications Director Nick Connellan. Another edition of Melbourne Food and Wine Festival is behind us, and this year Broadsheet put on a sellout event of our own. Over four nights, we turned daytime sandwich shop Hector's Deli into an after-dark bistro with legendary French restaurant Francois. I hope you were there and got to drink a glass of Beaujolais and eat a tasty steak sandwich while listening to a bit of French radio. We've got a special show for you today. Hector's Dom Wilton is here, and so is Francois' Jean-Paul Prunetti. I'm going to take a bit of a backseat with this one, and they're going to interview each other. For context, Dom co-founded Hector's in 2017, and Jean-Paul's been running Francois since 1986. So this is really a question of old guard and new guard. JP, we might lead off with you.
Yes.
Tell us, how did this collab come about? Because as we've noted, Hector's and Francois are very different businesses.
Yes, indeed, yep. Well, I didn't object this time. Normally I do, but this time I thought, well, maybe it could be a good thing. It was good because a lot of my people or the staff we've got go to Dom for sandwiches, and they always rave about it. And I thought, well, you know, maybe we can do something there.
Same thing for us. I mean, obviously I'm very connected to JP's team members. They come in all the time. They're regulars. But the opportunity to collaborate with someone who's been leader in our industry for 38 years seemed like a no-brainer. So really, it was never a question about whether or not the collaboration was going to happen from our end. It was just a question of whether or not JP was going to say yes.
I had to be convinced, but it worked.
And Dom, you're a longtime fan of Francois.
Yep, sure am. I had my first Francois epiphany in, I don't know what year it was. I was 14 years old. My mum took me into Francois. And if you know, Francois is kind of two services, lunch and dinner, but there are many services that happen on the shoulder of lunch and dinner, whether it's lunch and you stay to dinner or it's, you know, dinner and you stay very late into the night. It was a very hot day and we went to the back of the restaurant at about 4 p.m., which is traditionally kind of between services. And I think maybe some people were eating staff dinner or whatever, and we had a creme brulee. And we just ate a creme brulee, and I remember it being such a memorable experience and kind of vividly remember mum telling me why the place was special, and have ever since celebrated all special occasions, anniversaries, birthdays, whatever else. So yeah, I've been going there for a long time. Feels a bit like home.
And now you're in a room with the guy behind it all. So what is it to you that makes it such a special place?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question. And I don't want to be too aggressive, but I guess if I was going to ask JP a question now, it'd be around how do you do the undoable, seemingly, in our industry. The hardest thing is to attain longevity and thrive in an industry that kind of closes businesses down very regularly. What allowed you to stay open for 38 years, and what made it possible for you to sort of sustain the level of quality that you have for such a long period of time?
I was lucky from day one because I end up with really good people for a start. You know, I had people committed for the method, in the hours didn't work, didn't bother them whether they were doing 10 hours or 12 hours or 15 hours. So I had a team was ready to work. And from there, we built something kind of special in a way, because it was also a lot of perseverance and a lot of frustration. And there was a lot of things happened. You know, it wasn't that easy, ever easy. I think perseverance was a big thing, and then also a lot of give, you know, we had to give a lot, and we still do.
There's one thing that resonates with me about Francois and has always, which is kind of the simplicity of it. You know, I don't want to speak for JP when I say this, but I know similar to a restaurant in London called St. John with Fergus Henderson, he talks about a concept, or an anti-concept rather, where it's not about a focus on any one thing, but really a pleasant experience and a simple experience. And so when I go to Francois, I eat French food done beautifully. The the waiters and the team there kind of know your name. They remember your order, and there's something special and very honest about it. And it speaks to hospitality in its purest form. So when we started Hector's Deli, a lot of those thoughts came up for me, you know, and a lot of people think like, oh, Hector's Deli is very active on social media and we're often in a podcast room and we're doing things like this. But at the essence of what Hector's Deli is and kind of why we were able to create a little bit of a blueprint, if you will, for that style of sandwich shop is that we didn't overthink it and we didn't over-conceptualize it. And so when we look to a brand like Francoise, I wouldn't dare compare it in any other way, but the inspiration definitely comes from timelessness and perfecting simplicity. And that is kind of the essence of everything that we want to be. You know, I think that that's the anti-fad, you know, the anti, I better not name any fads because I might offend some brands, but sandwiches are something that have been around forever and hopefully will be around forever. And what we're trying to do is just an honest representation of it rather than something that exists purely on the internet. You know, it's very much a physical kind of experiential thing coming into a Hector's. And that is definitely a note that we take out of Francois's book.
Talking about simplicity, JP,
yeah.
What's your thoughts on refining things and how do you go about refining things? So, you know, if you're putting a steak on the menu or a creme brulee, how does it evolve over the years and how much change is it good?
Originally, we started with a chef who wasn't a chef. So everything had to be simple and everything was done on a palette. And over the first 2 or 3 years, we created, or he mostly created classics by just because he had a good palette and he wasn't necessarily, he was passionate. That was the thing. He was not just a chef, but he was passionate and he wasn't even a chef then. He became a chef there. All our food started there. And it become very simple, and we realize that making simple food is a lot easier to work with a good product. Make it simple. Don't have to decorate the plates and all that because that's not what we're doing even now.
Was that a realization though, or did you start like when what happened? Because I realized I never have ever asked or thought about what happened because Francois has been around 38 years. Mm. But we're talking 38 years ago, JP, who is thinking, I'm going to open up a restaurant. What? Why?
No. I never wanted to open a restaurant. I was in the industry a long time before I got to Francoise. I was in France in the industry for about 10 years. And then I got here, didn't do anything. And then I started Francoise. But I wasn't even me who started Francoise. It's a friend of mine who called me and said, look, there's a place there. Would you like to start a restaurant? I said, well, yeah, maybe. Because I didn't want to really do a restaurant, but that's what happened. So then we got that guy called Joachim who worked for us for almost 16 years. And we created a very simple recipes and he created most of it. And we started with a very small menu and bit by bit we got to Umbro. Then the second chef arrived, which is there today, Giro, and he...
I love we skim over that first 16 years. Like that's two and a bit times the lifespan of my whole business.
And and he got out because he got sick, the poor guy, you know. So, but when Giro took over, it was a different scenario because Giro was a trained chef. So he had different way to do things. So things changed a little bit, but very softly. Never big changes.
When you think now, just because we are, I want to stop saying the number, but 38 years down the track, do you recognize that Francois is an institution and do you think about it like that?
I don't think about it like that.
Yeah. So for us, like I look at it and I go, oh my God, you know, part of the charm of this place is...
I'm always realistic about what we've got, but I'm also very realistic. Everything is fragile and still fragile today. It doesn't matter how long you've been there because things can work against us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Staff is very important. We have to have the right people to work in the back, but also in the front. It's a theater. There is an ambience to be able to reproduce every night. There's a way to please people, and they only come back because of that. They not necessarily come back for because the food is better than anywhere else. It just normally it's a good meal, but it's also something else with it. There is a an ambiance. There is a way we're doing things, and I think that's everything. It's like a puzzle. You know, you've got a lot of pieces to put together to get it successful.
How does one train somebody who's new to come in and understand?
It's hard for any newcomers there.
Because it's a family. Yeah. It really feels like that. So I'm thinking...
It is. So it's very hard for... That's why we're always struggling, because a lot of people can't really get it. You know, a lot of... even that's why I try to get French guys, because they're a bit closer than anybody else to get it. Not they better waiters, but at least they can get it a bit better.
And in that, do you think that Francois has created maybe like a blueprint for other places in Melbourne, you know? I mean, without... Do you think you've been quite influential in the scene?
I don't know. I don't see myself as influential. I'm seeing myself an individual who's run a restaurant and has been lucky enough to get through 38 years of it, of hard work and all the things. But I think It's good to see a business going for a long time for a lot of reasons, because for me, continuity in anything you do is a good thing. And it's part of the success of having this sort of thing happening. And I'm pleased I'm still there and see what happens next.
Dom, how important is that continuity for you? And do you want to be here in 38 years?
Yeah, it's incredibly important for me. I'm actually... It's the thing that I talk about internally with my team more than anything. There is no part of me, honestly, that is here to create a brand that we can sell for a good amount of money. There is no point in getting out of bed unless what we're trying to do here is to create something that will have longevity. And so when I think about what the future is for us, we are a classic offering, right? We don't want to reinvent the wheel, but how do we continue to be different from every other scaled business? You know, there are big quick service restaurants and people immediately think like, oh, is Hector's going to open up 200, 100 or 200 sites? And that's what we want to go to. And that's never the plan. You know, if you go into Hector's Deli and look at the resumes of everyone that's worked there, these are people who have devoted their lives to hospitality and only. We're talking chefs who come from fine dining, front of house people who come from an array of different management positions in hospitality. But yeah, it's a kind of a weird thing for me to step back and have a look at, because it happened so organically. You know, like it was never really meant to happen. We were opening a restaurant and then we were kind of burnt out chefs a little bit, and sandwiches felt like a very nice vessel for us to have fun in the industry and connect with people more regularly than we were as fine dining chefs, you know, crouched over a plate with tweezers. And so, hell yeah, I want to be here in 38 years, but I want to be here in 38 years having done something worthwhile, not having created just another quick service restaurant, because I can tell you, if that was the plan, if I could put up on a whiteboard tomorrow in front of everybody and said, hey, our purpose here is to be as many stores as we can, everyone would walk out. And so, yeah, we have weekly meetings about the trajectory of our business, the creative input. A lot goes into what is seemingly a very simple concept. So it's everything to me. And I constantly reference restaurants like Francois, you know, like St. John in London. You know, we look at Ruthie Rogers at the River Cafe in London. Like, these places have stood the test of time for a reason. And it's not because they do the best steak in the world. That's part of it. The food has to be good. But what creates longevity, I'm not sure. I'm lucky enough to be able to sit in a room with people like JP and work at various places that have been around for a long time. But it seems like there's a certain magic that isn't easy to put your finger on. And if I ask JP, what's the reason for your 38 years success? I'm sure it wouldn't be a simple one word answer.
No, like, but it is not, because, you know, I when we started, we never thought we'd be there in 38 years later. So it just, I think it happens like it's a combination of many, many things who made it happen. You know, as I said, you know, we've from the beginning, we were a bit different, and there was a lot of French restaurant at the time. I worked for one, and there was another, probably another.
Where did you work?
I worked in a restaurant called Leal.
Leal?
Leal. was in Richmond, in Swan Street, Richmond. So I worked there for sure 4 years.
In front of house?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was very, even more simple than us, but it was packed until, you know, every night. And basically when I left there, I said, you know, there's nothing else like that. It used to be open until 3 in the morning. And I started to open until 3 in the morning, but I closed very quickly at 12 because it was just too hard. But then the Toro CPU was uncomplicated, was very different. It was a bit rough in a lot of ways, wooden table.
Is that what people weren't doing? Like everything was a little bit more refined at that time? Finer dining?
Yeah, it was more fine dining. But Leal was different. Leal was a lot more rougher, you know, a bit more wooden table. No, nothing, you know, bang, bang. But I sort of changed it a little bit to get a little bit more comfort and different clientele. The clientele is Sarsia is different than Richmond. So they also had to get it up a bit, you know. But I started very slowly, you know, it happened naturally. I was there to actually listen to people, to what they basically wanted. For me, it was a market I didn't really know because I wasn't born here. So I didn't really know what people wanted. And I decided to think, well, I've got to listen to people, what they say. We had paper serviette before. One guy said to me one day, you know what? You need real napkins. The next day I had napkins.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Do you still know who that guy is?
No, I can't remember. But you know, I didn't have tablecloths. But
really?
4 or 5 weeks after we started, someone told me, you know, you need tablecloths as well. So I said, yeah, you're probably right.
You know,
so,
I'm especially interested.
So whatever I did was on demand, you know, asking for it.
That's funny because we were just having a little pre-chat before the microphones got turned on and you had self-labeled yourself as a very stubborn person.
Yes. So you have to be stubborn towards something.
Like right. I mean, not to the guy who was telling you need napkins. That was okay. Yeah. But you have been stubborn in your career and you said something really interesting to me, which resonates, which is maybe a generational gap and that people these days, you know, without being too negative about it, maybe the hospitality scene has changed because so many things are opening up and there's not as much emphasis on really zooming in on what you're doing and being tough about it.
No, because I think a lot of people get a bit spread out. Because they want to do everything, but they don't focus on one thing. You got to have a focus. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I've always been focused I'm upset about certain things as well, a lot of things, in fact. But for running a restaurant, you got to be obsessed with what you're doing, and you got to also be resilient. You know, you get snap. You know, you get really sometimes a bit hit on. You know, with comments or whatever, but I always wanted to keep going, and that's you know, you have to make a lot of sacrifice.
You know, a lot of people talk to us about, oh, like, why aren't you opening at night? You're missing out on revenue. And I feel like we already open in the morning, but the more you extend yourself, the more you're kind of diluting what you're doing. And that does seem to be the pace at which things go these days. It's just like, you know, it's not the art or the thing that you're looking at that you're kind of caring about. It's the growth and the end result. And I feel like that's a massive difference from places like Francois, where every day they're going in and thinking about that day and the task at hand, you know, and all of a sudden you're 38 years worth of those days. I mean, this is what it looks like from an outsider. Whereas, you know, a lot of people who talk to me now, even about my own business that, oh, you know why, if you're not thinking about 20 sites yet, then what are you doing? If you're not thinking about 30 sites yet, or why aren't you opening nights and why are you selling this and that?
A lot of people ask me, you know, you should open the or shop today or whatever. But I always denied, you know, I never wanted to spread out because I knew I couldn't be focused. Mm. And I basically like to be there where it happens. You know, having 3 or 4 sites, I just, when it's not me, and I'm not, you know, not really in that kind of mind.
Sustainability is an important point here. Obviously, we have sustainability in the sense of the environment, but also sustainability in terms of what's a sustainable business to run, that the staff aren't getting burnt out. And before, you were talking about that other French restaurant that you worked at and how that was open till 3 a.m. And I note that that you tried that. and it didn't work. You're still here. That restaurant's not still here. Yeah, I don't think that's a coincidence. And similarly for you guys at Hector's, where you've made the decision to do this daytime thing and not extend into night. I think that's a really important point.
Yeah, I think if you have to have a limit of what you can do if you want to do it properly. A lot of people, I think, downfall is that they're trying to do too much and they can't actually physically do it. It's very hard to have someone thinking the same as you, you know. And I think I'm normally trying to think of what's best for the restaurant and for the customers, and then I go from there, you know.
What would you say the biggest challenges of running a restaurant are in a nighttime restaurant as opposed to a daytime place like Hector's?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, in the beginning when we opened, it was really tempting to sometimes close a bit earlier or close a day. But I decided I will stick to 1 o'clock, to 12 o'clock, whether we got no one at 10 o'clock. It doesn't happen that often anymore, but in the beginning, we sometimes had no people after 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know, in the first few 4 or 5 years. So, but I kept doing it. And bit by bit, it become no, because I never advertised about it, but people could come anytime from 12 to midnight, same menu, same service, didn't matter what time, what day. Public holiday, no public holiday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And it just built on. You know, it took me a long time for people to know it. But now everybody knows they can come at 10 to 12 and be served whatever they could at 12 o'clock in the morning.
That's where you mold, that's where you kind of, you transition from just like a brand or a business to actually an amenity and part of the community. Yeah. You know, like that's actually a really important part of what we're doing at Hector's. You know, people say like, oh, just open 6 days or open 5 days or you know, if you open a site in the city, you should close Saturday and Sunday. There's no trade, but that's when you lose a sense of community. Yeah. If people can't come 7 days a week and learn that about you, then you...
That was my idea also. People don't have to see whether it's open or not open. If we turn up between 12 and 12, midnight, it's going to be open.
You'll be open.
And I'm always struggling to even close at Christmas. We used to close 1 day and a half. And this week, this year, we extended a little bit. But 1 day and a half, it was already a big trouble for me because, you know, I say, what about the people who are going to turn? It's locked, you know. I was worried about it, you know. But needed just for maintenance a couple of things. We need a day and a half a year to fix a few things we couldn't do otherwise. But now we close a few more days at Christmas, but never others.
When do you get your renovations in?
Well, we had
1 a.m.
We were very lucky because we had COVID. I could do then.
But I think you're the first person who's ever said they were lucky during COVID.
That's a good sign of how hard of a worker you are.
I did a lot of things during COVID. It wasn't great, but it's still beautiful. Otherwise, I do it at night. You know, I do everything at night. So basically, it's cost double what it should, but at least I keep trading.
Mm. And then you guys, Dom, haven't, I guess, really faced that issue yet of renewing the businesses and keeping them up to scratch. Obviously, I imagine coats of paint and like, you know, refreshing the toilets and stuff, but not like whole renovations or...
No, not yet. You know, it's a massive part of what we do. And again, we try to keep it simplistic. And over the last 7 years, we've morphed from a business that was started by two chefs not knowing what they're doing into a business that has a lot of structure and a lot of people around it helping it. And so we're managing. But, you know, going back to that point that JP's making, what I'm hearing is that the guest always gets prioritized, you know, like even in the name of like renovations or Christmas Day. I worked at a place at the start of my chef apprenticeship called Bistro Thierry, which is in Hawkesburn Village. And I worked Christmas Day and I worked all the public holidays like as a chef. And there was such a sense of community and family that came along with that because, you know, I know sometimes you think of that as people who are like, oh, that's really strict or whatever, but it's not. It's a really deep understanding of like what hospitality actually is. You know, JP is talking about, oh, I'm going to close my door for half a day on Christmas or whatever. Like what about our loyal people who are always coming, like the door's going to be locked. That's, you can hear with him, it's deep within him. And with us, we're kind of taking notes on that and that old school sense of hospitality, because I think if we can underpin everything we do with a with the basics just being treat people well and make sure that we're here for them, I feel like that's how we're going to survive. Yeah.
There's been a lot of discussion in Australia over the past few years about penalty rates and weekend penalty rates and how complex the award is and whether it needs an overhaul. From your perspective, JP, has that kind of always on, always open mentality become harder to do?
I do, but you know, I've been, as I said, I made a lot of sacrifice in this industry and I still do because I don't charge penalty rate. I don't charge the 10% on the bill at the end of the night. There are a lot of things I don't do. And a lot of people will probably don't agree with me, but that's the way I do things. I do it other ways. It's appreciated. I do very well during public holidays because it goes the same as if it was a Monday or Tuesday, a normal week. So it is, I give, but I receive also a lot. And I'm happy about that. If you structure your business properly, you probably, it's not, for me, not as a necessity. I've done 38 years without worrying about it.
What's going to happen to Francois when you inevitably retire?
That's a big thing. I don't know. Well, at the moment, if I keep healthy, I'd be happy to stay there for a while. But I'm not sure what's going around the corner. So I like to still be able to go away than I used to. It's been a bit complicated the last 4 years to get away. But now I'm hopefully things going around the corner and we're going to be able to get away again, then I can keep doing that for a while. I don't mind working. I don't mind being there. I don't mind to say hello to customers. I don't mind to have a relationship with my staff. And it's like a family. So I don't have an urge to. I'm happy at work and I hope everybody else is. And I do make sure they do. Otherwise, they're not staying here.
Mm.
And that's the way to do it, you know.
I've always really struggled with people who have told me to distance myself from team members, you know, to build a really strict org structure.
Mm.
And the business has been a detriment at point, you know, like whether it's out having a beer with them or building real closeness where these people are becoming my close friends and my family. You spend so much time with them. And I'm still really figuring it out. I don't know, you know, I know.
Well, it's a fine line, you know. It's a bit like it's very hard to be a team leader and also totally be detached with your guys, you know. It can't work like that.
Yeah, I find it hard. I don't know how to do it.
But a lot of people said, you know, you shouldn't really go. You're out. That's not the right thing. Or you go with senior staff, but not the others. But why not the others? It's because they do a lesser job. It's as important. A dishwasher is important as a chef in a different regard. You can't operate with either one of them. So they're all, for me, on the same platform, you know. But
well, it was Noma, wasn't it, that I think the dishwasher ended up getting equity in the business because he'd been there for 15 years. Or
that's right. But that's because, you know, it is true, you know. That's the thing.
It's nice to get to a point. Obviously, I cooked every sandwich for the first couple of years. There was none of us. There was only three of us. So I understand the business from the ground up very well. But if I get on the toasty section now or on the fryers, I get kicked off very quickly. So the people who work in the business are much better at doing it than I am, which is a really great feeling, you know. It kind of allows closeness. I don't want anyone to think, yeah, it's really hard for me to consider myself as a boss as well. But I would hope that people who come into the business now, I can at least mentor a little bit, help them avoid the things that were really difficult for me in hospitality, ridiculous hours and bad mental health. And I guess like it's always a work in progress. You know, these ideas and concepts of structures and organizations and hierarchies are very quickly broken down when you get busy and you're trying to build a business. Yeah.
We've talked a lot about what Hectors can take from Francois, but you guys have instituted your 4-day work week. And indeed, you're on the podcast last year talking about that. JP, is that the kind of progressive thing that you would ever consider, or is it just too far outside the realms of how your business operates?
We accommodate with everybody. There is some who want to work only lunches. They do lunches. They want to work 20 hours. They work 20 hours. They work 60. They want to work 60. They don't last long because they basically get tired. So they come back to 38 or 35. I've got some two or three members who have been there since the beginning. They're still there, and they only want to work an hour or two, a day or two, and they're happy to do, and then they do their own thing, but they still like to be mixed and part of it. And I think it's great. You know, it's they're still doing a really good job, even they're almost as old as me. But
like what I talk about there and what I hear is that there's no my way or the highway. Good businesses are built around the people who work there. And so when we say we implement a four-day work week, if a four-day work week doesn't work for you, and it doesn't for a lot of our team members, they choose a five-day work week. Really, the sense is about collaboration. Like, I don't think JP walks in there and says, you're doing this and I don't care what you want. But if you're not listening to the people who work for you, you're probably not going to have good culture and you're probably not going to survive. So that maybe is the headline.
That doesn't work. You got to give them the freedom on the team to... It's okay with us. It doesn't matter how many years they do each does. As long as there's still five on the floor, on three at lunch, it's fine.
Yeah, and I mean, the proof's in the pudding for you. You've had, in addition to those staff members, Giraud, the chefs, he's been there.
Yeah, so Giraud has been there a long, long, long time. You know, he started in 96. So it's almost, you know, a lifetime, really.
Incredible.
And he's good at making sandwiches.
He's extremely good at what he's doing. He's very passionate. He's very all world like me. So we're going one with this one, and he's a good team leader as well. People listen to him, and they respect him. And he's got what the chef need. You know, he can yell, he can abuse people, so it's good. It does.
I don't know how that flies at a place like Hector's.
Different. Now, you know, I come from a long cooking background, and I think JP's joking. Giraud is a very kind person. Everyone loves kind, him.
Yeah. I mean, what family doesn't have their arguments though? You know, as long as you know how to make up.
And I think sometimes you have to, instead of sending an email, you should tell people straight in the face, you know, what you like and all. That's the thing, you know. Today, people are a bit afraid to complain about the steak, and 2 days later, you got a problem because the guy sent an email saying my steak 3 days ago wasn't good. So why didn't you tell us? You would have got another one, you know, and then we can do something about it.
I don't do either. I don't send the email.
That's the internet.
But when they come over and they go, how's the steak? I go, great. Just loving it.
Really?
I'm too scared. I don't want to rock the boat.
No, but it's good. It's good. We know that's the thing, you know. Anyway.
The most astounding thing, and not to blow smoke up anyone's ass, but now I've been in business for 7 years, and without a doubt, the most difficult thing is relationships with people. I don't know if it's the same for you. Like, if we can't cook this...
Especially today, people are fussy.
Yeah, everyone's fussy. And
they're all looking at... short TV shows and all that about, because it became a fashion cooking. It wasn't before, but now it became a big thing.
And I understand it, you know, in a way, like I'm happy for people to be fussy with us as long as that we've got a structure that allows for it to exist. You know, I want people to get what they want, but dealing with people, like if you can't cook the sandwiches or cook the food or wait the tables or answer the phones or whatever, like that's the easy part of a business. You know, I think probably extends outside of hospitality, but hospitality is becoming more and more of a real career option for people. And I think Francois is one of the places, like I know if you talk to any of JP's team members, they'll say, I've never had a boss who treated me better, who pays me right, who gives me what I want. Like they will tell you that immediately. They say it to your face. They go out of their way to say it. And I think that's kind of like, at the end of the day, that's what's going to continue keeping on, is keeping the people happy. And
it's a satisfaction to have people working for you and they're happy and you know they're happy.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a hard one. It's like when you get into hospitality, you're kind of signing up for this idea that there's definitely going to be challenges every single day, and most of them are going to be people related. Am I right? Yeah. Is it in 38 years, yeah, do you think people is the most difficult thing to navigate?
Yeah. It's become a big deal, you know. The relationship is a big deal.
The minimum is paying the rent.
Yeah, that's right.
The question that I really want to ask before we leave is, you look back over your career just with Francois, not before that, but you look back in your career of 38 years with Francois building it up. and you could give advice to yourself along the way, 38 years ago or 30 years ago or 25 years ago, what would you do differently, well, if anything?
It's for sure I could have done, I probably could have changed some things I regret I didn't. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure if I would have helped me better. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, you know, it happened and what happened. I don't have any regret the way it happened. I know I could have done things differently. I think I could have probably run the show a bit differently. But, you know, it's working like that. And I think I must have done the right thing because it's working today, 38 years later.
And the proudest moment for Francois in 38 years, if it's not meeting the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, that was one of the big events. But we've met a lot of people in that restaurant. You know, the thing is, I often don't know who is there because I'm not I don't read papers. I don't listen to news a lot and all that. So I'm not sure. People say to me, this is so-and-so, or this is so-and-so. But I don't really, we treat them exactly the same as everybody else. It's not basically a table we're going to put three waiters on the table. So we acknowledge them.
As in everyone gets the same.
Yeah, we acknowledge them, but it's fair.
Mm.
We try to treat the VIPs like we do everybody.
You can't make this shit up. This is real. I'm telling you. This is real
because,
like,
you know, I like to be fair.
Yeah, no, I know. This is the stubborn JP.
Yeah, that's right.
Just have this image of Taylor Swift walking in and no, but like, who's this?
but it's epic. It's like you don't want the greats to be like, oh yeah, you know, gushing over these celebrities that are coming in.
Right.
I mean, really, like that's the coolest. That's the coolest thing.
That's right. And then you know, we try to. Sometimes they like peace. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes a bit of fuss, but we give them peace. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Judge them by what wine they order.
Well, that's right.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, guys. It's been a pleasure having you both chat.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, JP. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.